Bit reel two. We're talking about when you were posted to the DST of GHQ. You're staying at a village. Whereabouts was it?
Near Arras. And it rejoiced in the name of Noël Vion. N-O-Y-E-L-L-E. One word. Vion. V-I-O-N. I think it was spelled like that. That was certainly how it was pronounced. And it was near enough the old World War I lines to have all the names of the streets, like Bond Street and Oxford Street, left there from the First World War. And we were in the DST was in a mansion, but we were in a hut in the grounds. And I was there for a very short time because the Germans started coming through Belgium and the flap started.
Did you have time to sort of start your duties? I mean, start work?
Yes.
Do you remember what roughly you were doing?
Typing a report about some soldiers who have been accused of stealing petrol. I can remember that well. Because every time it came to type the word petrol can, the C on my typewriter didn't work properly and it came out as petrol tan or some ridiculous thing like that would cause that.
Anything else you had to do? Were you just in a sort of big room with some other typists, or were you working on your own?
There were three of us, or three of us in this room. Private Tommy Tucker, Private Riles, R-Y-A-L-L-S, and me. And we worked. They were both educated people. We didn't take life terribly seriously, put it that way. It was quite amusing. But this didn't last long because we got moved. This is where I become a bit indistinct. Somehow we were moved. I can't even remember how. I remember going to Vimera, which is near part of Boulogne, really, and having to burn secret papers on the beach and being dive-bombed by a Stuka bomber. But exactly when that was, I don't know.
What do you remember of that incident? So you were...
Well, I remember running away so we didn't get hit. I don't remember much more. But I can't remember at what stage that was, why we were at Vimera, or when. Because we ended up... We were literally in what looked like a pigsty to me. I mean, quite literally a pigsty at a place called Sox, S-O-C-X, just outside Dunkirk, on the Somme Canal, just outside Dunkirk.
Now, you don't. What about you? Don't remember. This is unclear in your memory.
I can't remember how I got from Vimera to this place, Sox. And whether I was still with all the GHQ people, I can't remember whether I was with Tommy Tucker and that one. I don't remember them.
Was it a fairly chaotic situation, or did you just not
remember? It was a bit chaotic. And somebody discovered that I could drive, and I think the man's name was Sheffield, Captain Sheffield. I had to drive into Dunkirk. I had an Austin 8 staff car, an open one. Under this seat, I had a lovely round of Camembert, which I managed to get back to England. But I had to drive Captain Sheffield into Dunkirk and then back to work. I can't remember where we were. But this didn't last long. I'm only talking about a few days. And we finally got to Dunkirk, and when I say we, I'm not quite sure who we was. I can remember there was an officer who gave us a ticking off and called us a lot of sheep, and his name was Captain Campbell, and he wore Scottish trews, so he must have been a Scottish regiment.
Why was he ticking you off? I mean...
Oh, I don't know, because I think he lost his nerve a bit, and he just sort of shouted at us probably because he felt better than that. I couldn't see any reason for it. But... anyway, we got on a boat.
What was the situation at Dunkirk? I mean, you know, on the beach. Were you on the beaches of...
No, a lot was burning. So some oil installations had been hit, and there was a terrible cloud of black smoke. I used to drive down the black smoke in this car, you know, just follow that to get the land there. We got on a boat.
Was that at the Mole?
Which was tied up at the Mole, whatever it was. And that got a bomb on the front, just as we got on the back. So I got off that. And I think we came on a pleasure steamer called the Maid of Orleans.
Do you know what date that trip was?
Yes, I got back June the 1st. Pretty sure of that. So we must have left either June the 1st or May the 31st. We got shelled from the shore, but not accurately, fortunately. But they were shelling us from the shore, but didn't hit us. And I arrived back up.
What was it like on the Maid of Orleans? I mean, how crowded was it?
It was crowded. I was on deck. Once again, I don't really remember very much. I was clutching onto my mess tin, which I had this... I didn't have much else. I had my uniform. Clutching my mess tin with the camera in, which I finally had to leave from. We arrived at Dover.
Were you with Tucker and the rest, or were you separated completely, brother?
It's funny. Normally, I've got a very good memory for these things. I don't think I was with Tucker.
Were you tired? I mean, was it an exhausting period? I mean, had you been able to sleep? Because that might explain...
No, I hadn't had much sleep. I was very tired. I think we all were. But who I was with then, I can't remember any individuals.
So what was your reception when you got in?
We went almost straight onto a train, I think. And I remember thinking how unfortunate it was to get on a train at Dover to go to London when my parents lived at a little village called Appledore, not the Devon Appledore, but the Kent Appledore, and the train went right by it. And I didn't see them for about another fortnight, I think.
Did the civilians, what was their response to you as Dunkirk veterans or...
We were tired, and I mean, people just looked. I just don't remember any reaction, funnily enough.
And you went back to London?
We went to London and then to Aldershot. Awaiting posting, I suppose. I then got posted to London in an office run by the Earl of Warwick, I think it was. He was a captain or major. And I was there for a very short time, like a week or something. And was then sent down to a transit camp called Wenvo Camp, which is in between Cardiff and Barry Island in Glamorgan.
Wenvo?
Wenvo. W-E-N-V-O-E. Wenvo Camp. Near Cardiff. And there, to my intense surprise, I met quite a lot of the people that I'd joined the army with in the original barrack rooms. They'd been to Norway and come back not required because the Norwegian thing didn't happen. We were then all, about a week there, I was sent up with a lot of others to another transit camp at Sutton-on-Trent near Newark. And officially we were supposed to be guarding the banks of the River Trent against parachutists or whatever. And they said, because you've been to Dunkirk, you won't be sent anywhere for a long time. So 3 weeks later we were due to go on a boat to Egypt. A draft of 200 RESC personnel, drivers and clerks mixed. The army had entirely forgotten to appoint any non-commissioned officers. And in this field of 200 or so people, there was a Sergeant Murray, a private soldier, but he was a regular and wore a Palestine medal. And they, because he was a senior soldier, they said, oh dear, we haven't appointed any sergeants or corporals or anything. Murray, you'd better be Sergeant Major and go and select your own people. And we were in the next tent to Murray, with a sort of alphabetical order about the place. Hewlett, Heaven and Huntingdon were in one tent, and we all became sergeants. Appointed by Murray.
So this was your first promotion?
Yeah. We were so excited about this that we went down to a little cafe we knew, taking our stripes with us in our pockets, for the lady who ran the cafe to sew our stripes on. And it was the setting sun behind the post office as we walked down this road, and standing with the setting sun beside him so we couldn't see him was the Colonel Commandant of this camp. And we all failed to salute him and were sent back to camp and told that we weren't sergeants, we'd be privates again. This is absolutely true. And when we told Sergeant Major Murray this, he said, don't worry, we're going to Birkenhead by train tomorrow to get on the boat. You can sew your stripes up on the train. And that's exactly what we did. Oh, good. I mean, these sort of things are so true, aren't they? And the subsequent thing about that, I mean, you write home and say, I'm a sergeant now. If you write home again and say, I'm a private, you then become a sergeant again. And when we get to Egypt, 7 weeks later, none of you wars were saying, they're all privates again. So I then got posted to the ship.
What about the voyage out?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay,
yeah. What about the voyage out? Do you remember what ship it was?
Yeah. HMT Strathaird. A P&O liner. Quite a big one.
Who else was on board? There'd be your draft of 200. Anyone else?
Yes, there were a lot of other people on board, but I didn't know yet.
And about what month is this?
August the 1st. August the 1st, April. Just as things were really happening in England, you know, when the bombings were just about to start.
And what were conditions like on the Strathaird?
The bulk of the troops, the bulk of the 200 or so, were on D deck, maybe lower down than that, E deck or F deck, which is low down, and they were in hammocks under conditions which I thought were pretty awful, but they were sort of quite happy. Sergeants Hewlett, Heaven and Huntingdon had discovered that there was a purser still on the boat. He was still a civilian, and there was a little gentle pressure and a 5 pound note. I mean, was he over the cabin that wasn't meant to be open? So we got a very nice cabin on D deck. I think it was D deck. Might even have been B, C deck. Anyway, somewhere we shouldn't have been, and it was great.
Did you have private means or access to any private means? Or were you just living off your salary?
I didn't have private means. The other two did, actually. They were much richer boys than I was. I managed somehow. I can't remember. Really. Probably I didn't make the fullest contribution. But they were both quite well off. One Heaven was from. His father had a garage in Birmingham, I think, and the other one was from Stockton and Tees or something like that. He was supposed to be commissioned. Can't remember.
So, you were well off in this cabin. Any events on the voyage? Which route did you go?
We went a long way out into the Atlantic Ocean, zigzagging a very long way out. And came in eventually to Freetown, Sierra Leone, where we didn't actually disembark, but we stayed there a couple of days. I don't know what was happening, but we stayed on the boat, and we bought things that were hoisted up to us in other mountains. We then got to Cape Town, went on to Cape Town, and the boat tied up alongside, and we got a wonderful welcome. I've never had a welcome like it anywhere in my life. There were queues of people waiting to take us, you know, to their homes and houses. And I had a the ship was, I forget how long it was there, but it was about a week, I think. And my girlfriend was a film starlet, and she had two cars, which I was allowed to use one of them. It was pretty fun.
This girl, you met this girl in Cape Town?
And there were three sisters, I think, and Hewlett Hill and Huntington just went with the three sisters, and we had a wonderful time, we really did. And then we went on, we finally got to Egypt, to Suez. It would be about September the 14th or something like that, that's just roughly 14th.
How were you adapting to the climate? Because as you came up there, it's been getting fresh.
Going up the Red Sea was very, very hot indeed. But I like hot weather. I adapted fairly well. And although, you know, there was the usual business of painful behind your legs when we got to Egypt, I settled pretty well. And we were in a transit camp at, I suppose it must have been, near Suez. Yes, into a transit camp at Suez. And then.
Just one of the ones alongside the bank, or near the.
Near the canal. Yes, I agree. It wasn't at Port Tewfik. That Port Tewfik was the docks of Suez, really. I'm not sure whether it was at Geneva or whether it was at Suez. It may have been in Geneva, which is halfway up the canal, you know. Anyway, I got posted from there. I remember getting.
You weren't there long then?
No, only a matter of days. Then by train to Cairo.
And at this time, as back down to a private, were you? Or
yes, down to a private. All three of us were. I don't know where the other two guys went, because we got separated. I don't know where they went to. One was a staff sergeant. He'd met Sergeant Huntington and Hewlett and Staff Sergeant Heaven. Where the other two went, I didn't know. I didn't know at the time. Anyway, we all became private. And I got posted to HQBTE, I think it was, Headquarters of British Troops in Egypt. And I was in an office where General Wavell's daughters were working. He was a commander-in-chief at the time. And I was only there for about 3 days, and there was no job for me. And they said, you've been sent to the state. You will be sent to 43 DID, Detail Issue Depot.
Where was that?
Port Tewfik, Suez.
So backwards and forwards.
And I went back down to Suez, where I stayed for a very long time at Port Tewfik. The first thing that happened, one of the chaps who had been one of my officers on the boat was posted there to be in charge of it, Captain Cable, who greeted with me, Sergeant Hewlett, what are you doing as a private? You'd better be a sergeant again. So I became a sergeant again. And I was sergeant in charge of supplies at this food depot, this detail issue depot.
What did that entail then? What were your duties roughly?
Well, it was drawing supplies in bulk from a base depot, splitting them down into unit-sized detail issues, as they call it. DID detail issue depot would be supplying very small units indeed, sometimes parties of maybe less than six people. So it involved carrying a stock of food which you were issuing out in the form of daily rations.
And just food? Or was it other supplies?
Food. There were medical supplies under lock and key. I think there was even a bottle of whiskey. I'll come to that story later. But in general, it was food.
And what? How many personnel were there on the, in the 43 DID? Roughly.
Probably about 30, I should think. There were two officers, a staff sergeant, two sergeants.
Of which you were one.
Well, I became a staff sergeant eventually. Yes, that's true, of which I was one then, yes. Probably three corporals, and the rest were a driver, a carpenter, a butcher, and the rest were what were called issuers. That was a rank, that was a trade, for people who had no trade. I think an issue was supposed to be the lowest of the low, although I haven't got to worry about that, because that's what they do.
So they carried the stuff about, physically moved it about, did they?
Yes, yeah. And units used to call on us, all the local units, for instance, the local engineers, that they would bring in their indents for rations, and we supplied them. You'd get a constant stream of vehicles. With people collecting their food for the day or for the week or whatever it might be.
And the indents would be filled in by the commanders of the, or the relevant officer of the unit that wanted them.
That's right. And I was in charge of the stock book, you know, as a sergeant in charge. I had to make sure that everything was done properly and the stock was balanced or anything.
Was there a problem with pilfering, or either by local Egyptians or by some of your staff?
We had no problem when the place was on the edge of Suez docks at Port Tewfik. No problems that I remember at all. But a big camp was built for us, and the whole depot moved up to a different area north of Suez, and we had a constant battle against pilferers.
Who were the pilferers?
They were Egyptians, but there was cooperation from inside the unit, and after lots and lots of difficulties, I think it was found out that one of our drivers was cutting the wires and things like that and letting people in to pinch supplies. It was an awful battle, and we had Indian soldiers guarding us and all sorts of things to try and stop this. It was serious, but it wasn't. It didn't ruin one's life at all. It was just a permanent bloody nuisance because the military police were constantly trying to find somebody guilty. But I think in general that my men were pretty good. But we did employ a lot of wog labour. We had a gang of probably 100, you know, pushing railway trucks and things. Because there was quite a lot of local purchase done. We had onion contractors and ice contractors. Potatoes used to arrive by rail and things like that. It became quite a big operation.
So you were... What range of products would you supply then? You've got those things you just mentioned. The British rations, would that be the sort of bully beef, McConaghy's, the usual?
Like that.
Biscuits.
Bully beef, M&V, biscuits, rice, onions, sugar. These were all kept in big supply, but they went out in... There was a scale of rations per person. So, I mean, if you were allowed 12 ounces of bully beef per day, and you had a unit of six people, you simply multiply the six by 12, and that's what they got. And we had good clerks doing it. Very good, actually. fact, one of them, I think I managed to get him a mention in dispatches. He was so good.
So your job was maintaining this book, the order book, or the
yes,
the stock control book.
The right supplies. A certain amount of dealing with local contractors. I mean, there was a French man, delightful character, who was the vegetable contractor.
What vegetables would you get? Cause
well, he had fresh vegetables, you know, things like, I can't remember now, cabbage.
Would you have Egyptian vegetables as well?
Yes.
Okra and things like that?
No. In general, it would be potatoes and green stuff, even lettuce and things like that, and tomatoes. Gio, I remember this man, a child, who I got quite friendly with him. He was a very nice man, an educated man. He had a great big open Renault, I remember. A foretaste of what happened to me later. I was driving this Renault of his sometimes. And eventually I worked for the Renault company after the war, strange enough.
So, would you negotiate and set prices as a staff sergeant, or sergeant, later staff sergeant, or would you just be...
The prices were probably agreed by my officer. Or it may have even been higher than that, I can't remember exactly. But whatever I did, it was at a pre-arranged price. I didn't have to negotiate, not there anyway. You were always open to bribery. I mean, I didn't accept bribes, but there was always the possibility of that. Much more so as something I come to later when I was first in Dakar.
So you were making administrative arrangements with this French contractor for sort of delivery times, amounts,
right,
things like that.
Right.
That's the level you dealt with.
Yeah, playing hell when they didn't arrive on time, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Any other duties or responsibilities?
Well, I was the senior other rank of the whole camp.
That's when you were staff sergeant.
Yes, but the staff sergeant got posted. He was a regular soldier, very nice guy. Staff sergeant Coombs. But he got posted somewhere else. I never saw him again. All I know is that he'd been in Egypt before the war broke out. He had a beautiful bicycle, which he left me as a gift when he got posted. So I had a bicycle again. And then when he left, I became staff sergeant.
And when would that be? How long would that be into your time there? You got there...
Not very long. I suppose it would be... April, May 41.
So quite rapid promotion still.
Yeah.
And what? So you, as a senior NCO, or not? You know, what? Any extra responsibilities?
I was in charge of everything, really. but under the officer, who was a Captain Cable, a solicitor at this time, and he decided to recommend me for a commission in the RESC. And he was a complete and utter civilian himself. He just didn't know army channels, and he did it all wrong. He went straight to the Director of Supply and Transport Department, DST, for this recommendation, cutting out the ADST at Moesca, Israel. And I got on to Octu at Moesca, and there was only one question I was ever asked. How on earth did you get here without seeing the ADST? And it became perfectly certain, although I did brilliantly well, that I was not going to get commissioned. And that's exactly what happened. I was in the top three of everything. I had a wonderful month, or 2 months, I think it was, at Octu.
Is it?
And I didn't get commissioned. I just got sent back to my